הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, this is Judge Eve, and that was my singing telling you all, let us be happy and wake up with a happy heart, and that is what being in the Lord Jesus is all about, being happy. I am so honored and blessed today to have Pastor Lauren Sanford, the senior pastor of New Song Church and Ministries in the larger Denver area. Actually, the address there is 8242 Pecos Street in Denver, as my special guest. He is a pastor, he's an apostle, he's a prophet. He actually set up a few churches. He's the eldest son of John and Paula Sanford, who had written the Elijah Task book and had the Elijah House in Idaho. And I'm particularly touched because when I was first anointed as a prophet in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, it was that book that literally revolutionized my life. And as Pastor Sanford describes his parents, they were in the forefront of the charismatic, prophetic, and insight, inner healing movement, which is what I'm all aware of and all about. He is a musician. He had a BA degree in music, and he then received his master's at Fuller Theological Seminary in 1976, although we don't talk about that. We're all about 21 in Jesus. He's a very proud member of the Osage Indian Nation, and I'm so pleased to know that. He's a prophet himself. He'd established several churches. He'd been part of the Vineyard ministries. He actually had the largest vineyard ministry in the country, and I really want to hear about that. And for a while there, he was also partnered with Partners in Harvest till June of 2013. We'll have him tell us about that because of a change in thinking. And he has many, like 15 CDs, which can be obtained from his church, a lot of teaching materials. And what touched me in particular are his books. I'm just going to have the main headings given that can be obtained at Amazon or regular bookstores, and we'll talk about it. One is Purifying the Prophetic. I'm giving partial titles. The second one is Understanding Prophetic People. The third is The Prophetic Church, which New Song is. I love it how you said, Pastor Lauren, that it's a church of the Father and the Holy Spirit, really. Renewal for the Wounded Warrior, boy, do I know about that, and Visions of the Coming Day, what to look for and how to prepare. Pastor Lauren Sanford, welcome to the Judge Eve Show.
Good to be here, thank you. That's quite an introduction.
And I hardly said all of it.
Oh, God.
But I mean it with my whole heart. You have no idea what the Elijah Task book did for me, because I had just been anointed by a lady prophet up in Bakersfield, California. And she didn't tell me the things that I would go through.
Oh, yeah. I was just a teenager. I was just a teenager when my father wrote that book.
Oh,
really? Way back in the late 60s and early 70s.
That's when they wrote the book, really?
Yeah. I remember his first draft of it. He was writing it in a camper out back, and we had 10 feet of snow in 1969, and the roof of the camper sprung a big leak and ruined his manuscript, and he had to start all over again.
Wow. Oh, no kidding. God wanted that book out one way or the other, and Satan didn't, did he?
That's right.
And were they, both your parents... Are you hearing me okay? We're having a little disturbance on the line. Okay. Were both your parents prophets?
My mother shared in that somewhat, but my father was really the prophet. My mother was the one who brought him down to earth over and over again.
He was like what they say, no heavenly good, or was it heavenly good but no earthly good? Is that the idea?
Yeah, he was always in the clouds someplace, and my mother was always in his face trying to get him to pay attention to what was going on down here, you know. So,
Praise God. Before I forget, I need to tell you, Pastor Lauren, I was really in prayer this morning, and I am a prophet. I'm a seer. I've seen to the body, the past, the future. I've ministered all over the country myself. And I, by the way, Pastor Lauren also fills in for TBN in Denver when they're there, and I know Paul Crouch very well, and I've been on the show many, many times. But what came to me about you today is that you're going to be worldwide way more than you've ever imagined or done to this day. In Jesus' mighty name, I didn't want to forget to tell you. You're going to be invited everywhere. You're going to be traveling everywhere. Let me say, Pastor Lauren is married to his wife, Beth, since 1972. They have 3 children and 9 grandchildren, but you're only 21, right, Pastor Lauren?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm still that old hippie, you know. I still got a ponytail.
I love it. And when did you realize that you have a prophetic call, or did you, or do you?
Well, you know, part of me hates titles.
Yes.
And, you know, and my attitude is I just want to do what the Lord gives me to do, and if people want to call me names, then, you know, call me names, but... My father grew up in the prophetic in a time when there were no mentors. There was nobody to teach him.
Right.
And so he ran down a lot of blind alleys and got into a lot of crazy stuff and you know, got persecuted for it.
Oh.
And so there was a kind of a subconscious decision I made growing up that that I would not be crazy. And so I got into a real control mode inside of myself and suppressed a lot of stuff. And there were kind of two things that happened that kindled the prophetic in me. One of them was, it was 1988, and I was at a meeting of pastors in Seattle. I was with the Vineyard at the time, and was pastoring a church in North Idaho in the Coeur d'Alene area, and. So I went to a meeting of Vineyard pastors in Seattle, and John Paul Jackson was there.
Yeah.
He was the speaker, and we had a small meeting of pastors in somebody's living room, and he was prophesying to each one of us individually.
What did he say to you?
Well, what he said to me was, "There is a room reserved for you called Mystical Experiences of God." He said, "You have put your hand on the door handle, but you've not opened it." He said, "It's not to your discredit that you've not opened it. You thought your father's calling was inside.
Oh,
but your father's
goodness.
Calling is not inside. It's your calling." He said, "This room reserved for you is higher than your father's. You will see clearly because he went through the fog before you."
Wow.
And I staggered around for about 3 days, just kind of disoriented because it really rearranged me inside.
Yes.
And then I just began to get... you know, senses of things as the years would pass. I never called it prophetic. I just knew that when I heard prophetic words coming from a lot of other people, that they weren't right, and I knew what was going to be right.
Right.
And probably, I couldn't put a date on it, but over the years, I just kind of began to own it. And it was probably 7 years ago, the Lord said, you know these things. I've given you the ability to know these things. And I want you to put yourself on the line with it. And so put yourself out there with it. So I began to put out a periodic publication just when the Lord gives me something to say
on a mass
email list that I call Prophetic Moments.
And you still have it? Do you still have it?
It still goes out periodically. People can get on that mailing list if they like.
How do they do that?
Yeah, I'll give you that in just a second. But what happened was, you know, it just kind of grew, and then I ended up writing, you know, the prophetic books. And about six years ago, my father sent me an email, and he said, "Your brother Mark can carry my inner healing anointing or mantle.
Yes.
Could you carry my prophetic mantle?" And I said, "Dad, I settled that years ago."
Oh my!
And so that's
God.
Where that's gone. Now, if people want to get on that Prophetic Moments emailing list, they can go to the church website, click on the prophetic section.
And that would be
www.newsongchurchandministries.org.
Right.
Yeah, newsongchurchandministries.org. And click on there's a prophetic pop-up, and there's a sign-up under the prophetic there for that list.
Yes, that's fantastic.
Easy to find.
that, you know, and tell us, again, I'm going to ask you some questions, but then again, if there's anything special in your heart, you know, you interrupt me at any time. But tell us about the books you wrote, The Purifying the Prophet, and I know you talked about the particular individual, not to be too puffed up in their ministry, I take it, right?
Yeah, Purifying the Prophetic, I wrote, initially I wrote it as a loose collection of prophetic senses.
Yes.
But the publisher challenged me to sew it together with a theme, and so the theme that I looked at is the subtitle that I realized united the whole book. The subtitle is Breaking Free from the Spirit of Self-Fulfillment.
And what do you mean by that? Or what did you
Well,
mean
our
that?
Whole culture is dominated by a focus on self. It's fix me, feed me, give me an experience, prosper me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's what's killing us. It's killing the church. It's killing our faith. It's polluted our doctrines. And what in the book, really the book is a prophetic confrontation of a culture.
Wow.
And I've gone after the doctrines that have infiltrated the church that have nothing to do with the cross and the blood. The cross and the blood are the emblem of selflessness.
Yes.
That's, you know, our destiny is not to be prosperous. God loves to prosper us, let me say that. But
right.
I mean, he loves to give to his kids, but that's not our destiny. Our destiny is to conform to the image of the Son.
Amen.
And you find that embedded in the cross and in the resurrection. That was the most selfless act anyone ever committed, ever.
Yes.
And we're to conform to that. That's to be the essence of our character, that we don't live for us. We live for others. We live to sacrifice for others. That's the cross of the blood.
No greater love has a man but he gives his life for his friend, right?
Yes. You know, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. What was new about that?
Right. Nothing.
You know, it was the extent of it. It was he was going to die on a cross when he gave that command.
Yes, not only that, but I was going to say the name and the blood. You know, the cross and the blood are also our weapons of spiritual warfare. Which,
absolutely.
You know, maybe right. So it's interesting. And you know, we are now in an apostasy time, exactly as predicted in the Bible. Everything is me, I, and mine, and that's really what you're talking about.
I say in Visions of the Coming Days, which is my most recent book. What I say in that book is that the great apostasy has begun, but it's begun in places we didn't expect. There are major Christian names, major Christian leaders, who today are teaching heresies that undermine the foundation of our faith. There's one called open theism, which is being taught by some leading voices. Open theism says God doesn't know the end from the beginning. That somehow that's in our hands.
God,
yeah,
that's
out there.
To the Bible, right?
Yeah, I mean, if that's true, that God doesn't know the end from the beginning, then every word of prophecy is invalidated. You know, and I like to say to them, if God doesn't know the end from the beginning, then how is it that Jesus was crucified according to the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God?
Amen.
If God doesn't know the end from the beginning, we're living in a world entirely by chance, and God is not sovereign. But that's being taught.
I did not know that. Oh, my God, that's awful.
By some leading names. Universalism is gaining ground, where everybody's saved no matter what.
Oh, my God. What about that Chrislam theory? You know, that Christianity and Islam are okay to be together.
That's another one that's been gaining ground, and I hate it. You know, Allah is not a god. He's a demon.
Exactly. It's exactly what I know.
And look at what Allah does to women.
Yeah.
You know, look at the legalism that comes down. You know, Islam has no concept of a loving Father God.
Exactly. And you know, another thing they say, you know, I love to listen to Jack Van Empe because he really is right on. And they say that their imam is going to use Jesus to kill the Christians. You know, can you imagine? And people think that Muslims and Christianity have something in common.
No.
And the deception. You know, since you touched on that book, what do you say we should look for and how to prepare? Because I can tell you some of the things the Lord has shown me quite a long time ago.
Yeah, there's a whole list of things. You know, one of the most important things is stand apart from this culture of self.
Yes.
Embrace the cross. Embrace the selflessness. You know, seek the movement of the Holy Spirit. There's a whole list of things in the book. I write about what I say just openly is that the real religion of America is not Christianity. It's recycled Baalism.
Wow.
And I mean it. I mean that the spirit behind the real religion of America is Baal.
Yes.
Baal was a prosperity. It was a prosperity cult.
So you would sacrifice
animals. You would sacrifice your children.
Yes.
You know, by fire in order to prosper. You would go in and see the temple prostitute in order to get your crops to grow. It was a prosperity cult.
You know,
America falls down and worships at the altar of our self-centered ideas of self-fulfillment and prosperity.
Yes.
I was this is maybe an interesting story, but I was ministering in Ukraine.
Yes.
And the pastors were asking me, why is it that we always feel there's more power in the room than the people are receiving? It's like there's a blanket over us. And I've seen that. I felt that in so many places as I've traveled.
Yes.
And so I was pondering how to answer him. And
yes.
we were getting ready to do a major renewal meeting. People were there from all over the Russian-speaking world.
Wow.
And I thought I knew what I was going to speak, but during worship, the Lord began to give me this download, and I ended up physically shaking.
Yes.
And he was explaining it to me, and he said, first, it's the Baal spirit that's hovering over the church. And then he said, there are
four... Over the whole world.
And over the whole world, really.
Yes.
And he said, there are four signs of the influence of the Baal spirit.
Yes.
And the first is rampant sexual immorality.
Right.
And don't we have that? And even the acceptance of homosexuality, because
as
Baal
yes.
infiltrated the worship of Israel, they had homosexual temple prostitutes. So rampant sexual immorality, rampant focus on self.
Yes.
The sacrifice of the innocents. They were sacrificing their children by fire. And when you look at our culture, what are we doing? We're sacrificing our children
to
abortion on the altar of our self-focus.
Right.
And then finally... And this might surprise some people. Cutting.
Yes.
You know, when Elijah had the confrontation with the 450 prophets of Baal, remember that one, God calls fire from heaven?
Right.
What did they do all day? The 450 prophets of Baal danced around cutting themselves.
I did not know that. How do you know these things?
Well, that's in Scripture. It says that they danced around cutting themselves until the blood gushed out upon them. That's what Scripture says.
I knew about the 450. I don't remember about the cutting. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's there.
So here's
the end of this story. Here's that evidence in our culture.
Yes.
My son is my co-pastor. He's been full-time working with youth for 16 years.
Praise
he tells
God.
Me that one in three of our young people is cutting.
Yeah. to solicit blood, in fact, to do sacrifice to Satan,
well,
right?
Well, sort of. They don't think of it that way. They do it because they're carrying so much pain, they have no other way to express it. But in cutting themselves, they feel like they've gotten power over their pain. Well, the cutting under Baal was in order to obtain power. So these kids cut themselves in order to get power over their pain. And it's an epidemic. Their parents don't know. They cut themselves in places where the parents can't see.
I did not know. You know, Pastor Lauren, I'm so under the Holy Spirit. This is why you're going to be going out in the world more than ever before. Exposing things. I thought I knew pretty much, you know, everything that was going on, and I really don't. God bless you for exposing that. Oh, my God.
Some people don't like me much.
Well, I love you. So there. I don't. You know, the prophets were not exactly the most popular in the world, were they?
No, they weren't.
Like you said, they were called crazy, right? They're those who tickle the people's ears, and we cannot be that. I'm the same way. You notice, by the way, in your book about the prophets, do you talk about their very direct approach to things?
Yeah.
<You know>?
Pretty black and white, most prophetic people.
That's so funny you say that. You know, being from Israel, my former husband, Cohen, used to say, you don't have any gray in where everything is either black or white. I said, that's right.
That's right.
And I don't know if you know my story, but I've been heavily persecuted, but I need to share a couple of things with you. I had the Paul Road to Damascus experience. Do you want me to tell you about it, or I could do it in email? Where I was ministering, it's funny, a husband who didn't let me go to church divorced me because of my belief in Jesus.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Oh yeah, I was either to give up this Christ fantasy or it's our marriage, and to me, if I give up Jesus, this body would just evaporate, I wouldn't live no more, you know. And it was always, God, what do you want me to talk about? And it was 1989, it's funny that you had your calling 1988. And beginning of the year was go ye and possess the land, Deuteronomy 4:1, you know, very militant. And I'm looking at the people, you know, and they're hurting. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:13 says, when you're in your right mind, you're for other people. When you're beside yourself, you're for God. You know, when we feel good, we can help the whole world. When we don't feel good, we can't even think beyond ourselves. So I said, God, look at them. They can't think war. So the rest of the year, between about March till the end of November, twice a month, when I would go minister, working full-time, raising 4 children myself, it would be Love is the Healer, and, you know, people come in, and God uses me a lot in inner healing. That's why I love what you said about your parents. I see things from the beginning of conception, you know?
Yeah.
In December of that year, it was, be bold in the Lord, the truth shall make you free. Very militant again. And I was driving home from Palm Springs. I lived in Northridge. I now live in Seattle area, by the way. And it was Christmas Day. It was very crowded. So my youngest son is with me. Mom, change the station. I said, Danny, don't talk. I knew I would hear from God. And I'm saying, God, this is what we talked about this year. What are we going to talk about next year? And Pastor Lauren, a beam of light came upon me from the heavenlies. All I can describe it as bluish-white light. I could hardly contain it. You know how it says new wine has to be new wineskin? And I kept breathing deeply, and Jesus spoke to me, and he said, when I said, go ye and possess the land, I mean, go ye even possess the land and teach my people how to do so, that Satan took land only because of our inaction, that we're to put our hands on our hips and say, Satan, you made another mistake. We're going to take and overtake and take more land, like David, King David did in Ziklag, and I don't talk like that, that we were not to be namby-pamby Christians anymore, that we were to wrest the land out of the hands of the enemy, W-R-E-S-T. The image was an umbrella open upside down, and that we were to take the stick and twist it and yank it out with the spokes, and that Satan was unleashing his highest principalities and powers upon the earth like never before in the following January. At the end, I said, are you Michael? You know, Archangel Michael is the angel of the Jews.
Uh-huh.
The power stayed on me for 8 days. I talked fast, but I was going like 100 miles an hour, and whatever I prayed manifested right there and then, jobs, money, health, whatever. When it lifted, it took me about 2 or 3 weeks to regain my strength. And do you remember the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship?
Yes.
Okay, the following July, they had an international meeting in Anaheim, California. And a Mr. Black comes to our table, and he says, God has been teaching us spiritual warfare, and he says, we cannot be namby-pamby Christians anymore. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And I just had to share that with you. Do you feel that you are a warrior as well, being a prophet?
I am. I don't want to be. The way I put it is, I say, I've been drafted. I don't have a choice.
I say exactly the same thing. I don't want to be.
Yeah, and right now I'm engaged in war, and I don't want to be. I'm 10 people short of having my 5,000 friend limit on Facebook, and I use it as a platform. And I've been speaking.
Yes.
I've been speaking out about what's going on in the country right now, this minute.
Yes. Yes.
And,
say your Facebook address.
So heavy. It's just so heavy on me. And I get, there are some people who come at me and they say, you know, that I'm spreading hatred, or I should just be quiet and preach just the gospel. And I can't, because I'm fighting for people.
Yes,
What's going on is going to destroy our nation. It's going to destroy people.
Exactly.
It's going to deprive people of what they need. And I have to speak out. I can't be silent. I feel like Jeremiah, that if I try to be quiet, it burns me up inside.
Yes.
But I don't want to do that. I'm a pastor at heart. I just want to love people. But the Lord says, no, I've put a sword in your hand, and if you don't speak out, you're going to be in trouble with me. You know.
Exactly. And you have no choice, right? Give us your Facebook address so people know how to contact you there. How are you listed?
Let me, yeah, give me a minute. I'll click on it and give it to you accurately.
Okay.
I've got my regular Facebook page,
yes,
you know, that everybody has, and then I have the public figure page when you get to have too many.
Yeah.
And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I had to open the public figure page.
Yes.
And that's R. Lauren Sanford.
Uh-huh.
Basically, just go to Facebook.com.
Yes.
/ initial R. Lauren Sanford. It's all one word. There's no period there. It's just R. Lauren Sanford.
But it's Sanford. S-A-N-D-F-O-R-D.
Yes. Yeah, put the D in it. S-A-N-D-F-O-R-D. And Lauren is not L-A-U, it's yes. L-O-R-E-N.
Yes, thank you. And also, let us repeat the website for the church, which is, again,
newsongchurchandministries.org,
right?
.org, yeah.
Yes. How did you get the name New Song for your church?
When we started out, there were two reasons for that.
Yes.
We wanted to be different, particularly in Denver. We
oh,
wanted to be different in terms of our focus, you know, in terms
yes.
of how we treat people. You know,
yes.
most churches are vision-based,
yes.
so everybody gather around my vision, and then if the vision doesn't happen, then everybody is disappointed or
right.
feels betrayed or what, I mean, what do we do now? And
yes.
the new song was, we are not vision-based, we are values-based,
oh,
which
wow.
means how do we treat people? How do we worship yes. Jesus?
Yeah.
And then the vision can change, but the values never do. The values define yeah. our character.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to be different that way. We've sucked up people nobody else wanted.
Wow.
Other pastors
wow.
have said to me from time to time, Lauren, we just don't know what to do with you because I'll take people nobody else wants to work with. You know, I mean, the bulk of our youth leadership right
yes.
now, some of our key youth leadership came to us
yes.
when they were 14 and 15.
Wow.
They had raised in hideous backgrounds, they had raped their siblings, they were
oh.
dropped out of school and in jail. Now they are thoroughly redeemed, leading people to the Lord.
Wow.
They're getting their degrees in college, they're married and making babies, and they're stellar young men.
Wow.
But they were people nobody else would want. They were the dirty ones, they were the okay. dropped out ones.
We
took them, nobody
yeah.
else wanted them. So that was the first part. And the second part was that
yeah.
that I've been a musician since 1966.
Wow.
And when we started the church, I wasn't real happy with the worship music. It was all kind of, in the body of Christ, was, to my taste, it was all kind of vapid.
Like a bar, right? Like I cannot go to churches that play the current rock type music. Is that
yeah,
what
well,
you
we do. We do
yeah.
some rock style stuff, but it's for Jesus, you know. It's
yes.
the music was just for me. It was kind of bland. The lyrics didn't mean much. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't
yes.
real creative.
Yes.
Everybody's copying everybody else.
Yes.
And so I wanted to create I felt the Lord had called us to create a new stream of worship music.
Yes.
And so that was the new song as well.
Yes.
Different things happen in our worship. Most places I go, worship
yes.
is a song set. That
right.
sounds like Christian cover tunes drawn from K-Love Radio, you know. And,
a, right, no spirit
and,
in
and
it.
And the Lord has so much more in worship for us than that.
Yeah.
You know, what happens in our worship is these moments of intense creativity that are happening in the moment. Holy
yeah.
Spirit is dictating it as we go. God will give me or my son, we both lead worship, he'll give
oh.
us a word of knowledge in the course of worship that he's healing
wow.
in the midst of worship. And we don't even break stride. We just, God's healing, God's touching right now, receive it. God will heal people sovereignly in our worship service.
Wow.
And or sometimes we'll call them forward, have the ministry team praying for them while everybody else continues to worship. Or there'll
yes.
be a prophetic word that comes forth as
yes.
part of the flow of worship. Sometimes we'll sing it, sometimes we speak it.
Wow.
We never know exactly what God's going to do. And people tell us there's just something really unique about it. So that was the new song as well.
I wish I lived in Denver so I could go to your church.
It's different.
That would be,
we just this last Sunday
yes.
we had a couple drive here to Denver, all
yes.
the way from St. Louis. They drove across two states just
wow.
to get here to spend a Sunday with us.
What times are your services on Sunday, and do you have any services during the week as well?
Actually, we have all kinds of meetings during the week for people. We don't
yes.
do a midweek service, but we do a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.
Your time.
Yeah, 10 o'clock Mountain Time.
Mountain Time, yes.
Yeah, and then we have an evening service at 6. In the evening, I don't give a prepared sermon. What I do is I just take out the Bible and shoot from the hip. It's
wow.
extended worship in both services. You know, it's rare for us to worship less than 60 minutes, 70 minutes.
Wow.
We really
wow.
want to get that connection with God going, so that happens. Our sermons every Sunday
yes.
night. The Sunday yes. morning sermon every Sunday night is posted online.
Really? Again,
so that,
by yeah. going to the church's website?
Yeah, go to the church's website. On the home page,
yes.
you will
yes.
find the sermon from the most recent Sunday. And again, like tomorrow, we'll video the sermon. It'll be edited in the afternoon and posted by 9 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And then underneath the current week's sermon on the homepage, there's a link to the archives, and you'll find some of the back sermons listed there as well.
And also your CDs, all the songs that you've written, you have 15 of them, can be obtained at the church's website, and you have other teaching materials, right?
Yes, we have an online bookstore, and you can get there from the homepage. You know, just click on the bookstore link, and all my books are listed there. There are videos. My prophetic school is there to purchase in video.
You have a prophetic school?
Yeah, I have a prophetic school.
The lady who anointed me as a prophet had a whole setting, a teaching school for prophets. Her name was Elsie Reed in Bakersfield. Had you ever heard of her?
No, I haven't.
Because she's passed away by now, you know.
Okay.
But is your church still at 8242 Pecos Street in Denver?
Yes, it is.
So people can go there. And how can people get your school for prophets, or how did you
Well, if they can, actually I'm willing to teach it anywhere. All somebody has to do is host it.
Okay.
Anywhere in the country. It's basically, at the core, it's about 12 hours of teaching. But if they want to get the videos, they can order those online. It's their DVDs with a workbook.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually seven DVDs, because we took the best of we took the best of the question and answer and condensed it out to a seventh DVD.
I see. Can you tell us then, what do they teach? Do they teach people to become prophets, or to listen to prophets, or what do you teach in your course?
We start about I start with fundamental basics that a lot of people don't understand. Most people don't. I start by talking about what is prophetic ministry? What is it for?
Yes,
and I ground it biblically, and then we talk about how to hear from God. You know, how do you differentiate His voice from other voices? How we talk about meditation. We talk about the training of a prophet. We talk about how to differentiate a true prophetic word from a false one.
Yes.
One of the heaviest lessons is on the wilderness and the dark night of the soul as the necessary training for a prophetic person.
And, Tell me about it.
The last time I taught this, I was teaching it in Ohio, just outside of Cleveland, and the reviews people gave me were, they said, this is blowing my mind every session.
Wow.
So,
wow. See, people don't know the walk. They don't understand it. You know, they read about prophets in the Bible, they say, oh, yeah, sure, you know, we don't need to listen to them. And they don't know what you have to go through, right?
So and they don't even really know what it's for. You know, one of the key things that I address is that we've made it such a personal prophecy thing. That's a very slender thread in Scripture. The prophets had a much broader calling than that. We've made it all about prediction. That's a minor part of the prophetic voice. The prophetic voice separates the precious from the vile. It calls, like Elijah did, it calls people to a pure devotion to God. It identifies what's pure and what isn't, and separates the two.
Yeah.
And one of the things I cry out against is we have too many prophetic people catering to the selfishness in people. And what they do is they stand in front of a crowd, and they do what I call sanctified psychic reading.
Oh.
What they're doing is they're using what every human being has the capacity in the Holy Spirit to sense what's in other people. We can do that. That's what, you know, Scripture says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We have the ability to feel what's in people. Some of us have that ability we're like prodigies, you know. It's like some people can walk, some people can run fast. But we have people that do that extremely well. And what they do is they'll read what's in someone's heart, like an ambition or a need.
Like
and they'll reflect that back to them.
Like psychics.
Like psychics. And that should be a tool for ministry. It helps me to identify with people, but it's not the word of the Lord.
Right.
So what they'll do is they'll sense an ambition or a need in somebody, and then not differentiate that sense from what might be really coming from the Lord, and they'll speak that to people as a prophetic word. For instance, we had a guy come into our church. He'd attended a large meeting, big prophetic voice on the platform, and this prophetic voice called him out and said, you're going to stand before thousands to play your music. Well, that was the ambition that was in this guy's heart. That's what he needed.
Right.
He came to me to present me with the bill for this.
My goodness.
And his guitar playing was horrible. His songwriting was horrible, and he couldn't sing.
Wow.
You know, and so in the end, he was mad at me, mad at God, mad at the church, and he hasn't been in church since. And the point is that that prodigy on the platform who could read the desire of his heart read that, reflected it back to him as if it were a word from God without discerning what was really the word of God, and basically wrecked this guy's spirituality.
Wow.
And there's too much of that going on. So I addressed that at length.
Good. And, you know, maybe give a word about the difference then between psychics, which to me are used of demons and the devil, and or, like you say, you know, intuiting what people are feeling, as opposed to a true prophet who would give a word.
Yeah, the true prophet will have that ability. Yeah, he'll sense what's in people, but that just tells me where the person is.
Yes.
You know, the word from God is something else. The word comes from God, speaks to the situation in a realistic, constructive way that releases power for some real life.
Yes.
So,
and doesn't break the person away from serving God or wanting to be in God's church, right? I mean, if anything, it draws the person more in. You know, before I met Jesus in my life, because you're talking to somebody born in Jerusalem, Jewish, my parents were from Poland, very Orthodox Jewish home, there was no way I was going to accept Jesus in my life. So I had gone to many, many psychics because, you know, I think we all have that void in our heart, which we find out later, you know, gets filled with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I always, even then, I always wondered, they never know more than either what you're thinking or what you volunteer to them. Have you noticed that with demonic psychics?
Yeah. Right? I've noticed that with a lot of them.
Yes.
It's, you know, they're... Because of God has breathed a human spirit into us,
yes,
we have the ability to sense other people. The demonic can get into that and use it for destructive purposes.
Yes, exactly.
Or the Holy Spirit can get into that, discipline it, bring it under His guidance.
Yes.
And, one of the things I say this a lot, is in the same way that not all that glitters is gold, all that is supernatural is God.
Amen. Oh, I love that. Should be a title for a book. That should be a title for your next book.
It would make a good title, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I like it. Because that is so. People are so deceived, you know. And again, I've never seen such coldness in Christians. Are you noticing the same thing? I mean, we have the me, I. But there is this total lack of disregard for the things of God. Are you noticing that as well?
We have rampant immorality in the church, and we're justified.
Yeah, in the church too. Oh no!
I mean, not in my church. We're drawing a lot of people out of the world, you know, that are in immorality when they come.
Yeah.
But our atmosphere calls for holiness, calls for healing and restoration. But
you
I'm seeing in the church at large that there's more and more moral compromise.
Yep.
You know, I am so brokenhearted and tired of hearing about major Christian leaders falling into immorality.
Exactly.
It just grieves me.
Exactly. You know, I don't know if you know about it, you know, on my website, God has dealt with me in the last couple of years about the need to return to holiness.
Yes.
And in fact, right? And He showed me stadiums filled with people all over the world. And there are no words, no music. There's just the presence of the Shekinah glory.
Mm-hmm.
And people just stay there for hours and literally get renewed, you know, to go out and do His work.
Yeah, but see, that's the call to be conformed to the image of the Son.
Amen.
One of the things I write about in Visions of the Coming Days is...
Yes, I want to hear.
That the time has come.
Yes.
For the revealing of the sons of God. And
that
phrase, sons of God, that's a Hebraism. You know, there's not a lot of adjectives in Hebrew. And so if you're going to describe a person, you call them a son of.
Right.
You know, like sons of thunder, sons of perdition. Their lives are characterized by a thing.
Right.
So the sons of God are those whose character is characterized by the holiness of God.
Yes.
And what Romans 8 says is that the whole creation groans with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God.
Yes.
It goes on to talk about the birth pangs, you know, groaning and birth pangs. I believe that God is raising a generation right now who are so hungry to be conformed to the image of God.
Amen.
That God wants to reveal us as a generation to the world, a generation of righteousness, not religious.
Yes.
But loving, righteous, looking like Jesus, ministering like Jesus, speaking like Jesus.
Yes.
And when that emerges, that's a sign of the end times.
Yes.
That's why Paul said they need to be revealed. We've been concealed. And there's a revealing coming.
Because, you know, one of the verses that I've had in me for so many years is James 5:10. You know how the prophets go through more suffering than anybody else.
Uh-huh.
And to have you noticed?
Uh-huh.
And two revelations that I have, and I'm sure there are more, but one is, first of all, they're more sensitive, so they feel everything more. And
yes.
Secondly, the reason for it is, I always analogize it to, you know, the hot dog-shaped balloons. You know what happened when you press the bottom? The top expands, right?
Uh-huh.
So the more buffeted we are in our physical body, you know, or spirit, or, you know, human spirit or emotions, the higher up we go up and develop more in the Spirit of God. And I think he allows it so we do hear from him more directly, so we can lead people to his way and his things. You know, what I'd like to hear from you, you know, God has shown me, I'd say about 30 years ago now, about concentration camps coming to America. And it was in about the mid-90s that I started to hear evidence of it. Do you have any thoughts about that? Has God shown you anything about that?
Not about the concentration camps, but this is what I write in Visions of the Coming Days.
Yes.
Is that we are going to be increasingly seen as dangerous. We're going to be seen increasingly, and we're already being seen increasingly in this culture as a threat.
You mean the Christian?
The culture has made its decision, the path they're going to pursue, and we are a threat to that.
Yes.
And that's going to bring more and more persecution, where it's going to bring job losses. I'm reading more and more about people in the military being penalized for expressing their faith in any way.
And having a Bible. Can you imagine?
Yeah,
having
a Bible. I heard, I met yesterday morning with a psychotherapist who is a Christian.
Yes.
And she has a son. I won't name her because I don't want to get her in trouble, but she has a son who works in a prison.
Yes.
And what she told me about her own life was that in political times like this, she has made a habit of writing and calling frequently her legislators in order to express opinions.
Right.
Her son, who works in the prison, said, Mom, there are people in this prison who belong here. And there are people in this prison who don't belong here. Mom, promise me you won't write or call them anymore. And he wouldn't fill in any blanks. And I thought, wow, that sounds ominous.
Does it sound like Russia, right?
It does. I mean, we're going to be paying a price for the stands that we take because we're going to be considered a threat.
Exactly.
You know, all they have to do is, you know, for instance, if I stand up and say, I cannot approve of homosexual sex as normal or acceptable. That can be labeled hate speech. Now I can be prosecuted.
But you know, only 12% of the people follow that lifestyle, and God loves the homosexual. He just hates what they do. And you're not allowed to say that. And free speech, right?
Exactly.
Well,
there's a bake shop here in Denver.
Oh,
and right now, the owner is being prosecuted because... A homosexual couple came to his shop and wanted him to bake them a wedding cake because it's legal in Colorado now to have civil unions for homosexuals.
Wanted
to bake them a wedding cake. And he said, I cannot do that. I can refer you to someone who will. But I can't do that because I would feel like I'm participating and I can't participate. It's a Christian shop owner.
Yes.
Lawsuit has been brought. He's being prosecuted. And he could go to jail.
Criminally, he's being prosecuted?
For discrimination.
Wow.
Under anti-discrimination laws.
Wow. Pastor Lauren, I cannot tell you what a blessing you are to me, and I know to the many people who hear you. We only have a few more minutes in the show, although we started late, and I apologize for that.
It's all right.
Please let us know. Yeah, please let us know what is on your heart that you wish the people to know. I want to repeat again. People can get your books. Let me repeat some of the names again. Purifying the Prophetic, Understanding Prophetic People, The Prophetic Church. I'd like to hear about that, by the way. Renewal for the Wounded Warrior, Visions of the Coming Day and What to Look For and How to Prepare. I gave the whole title there.
Your
books can be obtained on Amazon or any bookstore, but you have 15 CDs. You have a lot of other materials, like you mentioned, the School for Prophets, and they can be obtained on your church's website, which is www.jeevesmith.com. newsongchurchandministries.org, and all kinds of teaching materials are available there, too.
Yes.
And you gave your special web Facebook site. I'm not too good with computers. And that's Facebook.com at L...
Facebook.com/ R. Loren Sanford.
And that's L-O-R-E-N and then S-A-N-D-F-O-R-D, all one word.
That's right.
R. Loren Sanford.
That's right.
Thank you. What would you like to talk about and have the people know about, what you think the world needs to know about? And
well, you know what? It's really, in all that we've discussed, it's really easy for Christians to become militant in the wrong way. It's really easy for us to fall into sounding shrill, harsh, and judgmental.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've said in a couple of my books is that the world knows what we hate. They don't know what we love.
Wow.
For instance, a homosexual needs to be redeemed.
Yes.
The last place a homosexual will come is to the church because we think of them as our enemies.
Yes.
They're not our enemies. They're just broken people who need Jesus.
Yes.
You know, we have homosexuals in our church who know where we stand on homosexuality, but they feel loved and accepted.
And they still continue their lifestyle?
No, they're not. They know that the lifestyle is illegal. They know where our stance is.
Yes.
But, you know, we want them to be in the redemptive atmosphere. Why? Because we trust what the Scripture says when it says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin.
Amen.
Convicting the world of sin is not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job.
Right.
We either believe that or we don't. And if we believe it, it takes us out of that place where we sound harsh, judgmental, and hateful.
Yes.
And we can begin to speak love into people's hearts. It's like Jesus with the woman who was taken in adultery. They're ready to stone her. That's what the law said to do.
Right.
Jesus bends down, writes in the dust at his feet. You know, and in the culture of the day, what he was doing was they would try people in the gates of the city. And when they brought somebody before the elders, they would write the charges in the dust.
I didn't know that that's what they did.
They would write the charges in the dust. And so what Jesus does is he bends down. They say, this woman should be stoned. What do you say? He bends down, writes in the dust, and one by one, the accusers begin to leave. Why? Because Jesus wrote their sin in the dust. And then when they're all gone, he says to the woman, does no one condemn you?
Yeah.
She says, no one. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Can we find the depth of that?
Wow.
That somehow we don't condemn and at the same time say, go and sin no more. In a way that people can hear us, they can hear that they're in our hearts, that they're not our enemies.
Yeah.
You know, that's the trick. That's the thing.
Let me ask you this because it's been bothering me a lot, not so much about homosexuals because I love them all. You know, we are to operate in God's love. But what about these leaders who, as you say, have become so apostate, who are teaching wrong things, who are living so immorally? How are we to treat them?
With love, and if we have relationship with them to confront them about
personally,
the error.
Yes.
As lovingly as we can, it's best done in relationship. I've not broken relationship with some of the people that I know I'm at odds with.
Yes.
But I do what I can to speak correction, whether they hear or not. But I try to do it in a spirit of friendship.
And I
have a brother that I debate with a lot. He was in my church in the early years who has taken up advocacy for all these homosexual issues. He's taken up advocacy for gay marriage and all kinds of things.
Yes.
And we debate frequently. But I've made it clear to say to him, you know, I've been your friend for many years, and I will remain your friend.
Yeah.
So if we can continue to debate this issue in a spirit of love and civility, then I won't disown you as a friend because you've taken a position I feel is so wrong.
And you love him anyway, right?
I'm going to love him anyway.
Unconditionally. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. That doesn't mean that I've surrendered a position.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that I'm compromising. It means that I still have a voice into his life.
Do you expose those things that are done by leaders which are wrong, though? Do you expose it publicly?
Yes, I do sometimes. For instance, Most people know about the Lakeland revival that went on a few years ago. Remember that?
Yes,
and
I
Todd
do.
Bentley, the leader, fell into sin.
I remember very well. Yes.
Yes, I knew that was coming. I
wow.
saw it when I watched it on television. My wife wow. and I went. My wife and my son and I went there in May
yes.
of the last year, and I knew something was wrong. I came home and told my people that it wouldn't last the summer. It was over August 6th.
Wow.
And then I know a lot of inside information about the so-called restoration process that he went through.
Really?
And
yes.
What he did was he sneaked off to Las Vegas to get a quickie divorce from his wife and married his mistress and then presented himself for restoration.
My God. Oh, my God.
And when people ask me about him being in ministry, because he's back in ministry, he's doing
yes.
these big crusades in Africa, and they ask me about that, my
yes.
answer is this. I've done 4 restoration processes for
yes.
fallen ministers.
Right.
2 were successful. 2
yes.
were not, because they didn't do what I asked them to do.
Yes.
And they fell again. And
yes.
I tell them, I say, if Todd Bentley had been under my care
yes.
and he pulled that, he would never yes. be allowed to stand on a stage ever again.
Praise God.
And
praise
lead God's people, because the marriage he's engaged in now can never be made right.
Amen. Because of the way it was done.
Yeah, we're standing. We're living in a day when integrity counts more than it ever
yes.
has.
Yes.
There's no more room for compromise.
Right. I don't know how to thank you, Pastor Lauren, and I'd like you to have a few minutes. We only have a couple of minutes left. Please say whatever else is on your heart that you'd like to have the show finish with, please.
Right now, it is important that Christians raise their voices about what is going on with our government.
Yes.
I am telling you prophetically that Obamacare will crash this economy.
Yes.
I'm telling you that we're dealing frankly with a president
a demon.
Whose arrogance knows no bounds.
Yes.
And if we don't, as Christians, raise our voices and speak to our legislators, write them, call them.
Yes.
We are going to see this nation collapse.
I know.
And I'm saying, Christians, now is the time. Tell your legislators what's in your heart now.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much. You're repeating what I've written in my blogs. I can't get over you. And that's the way God is, isn't he?
Yes.
He has a way of confirming things. And I just thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you do, for who you are, for who your family is, and what you're doing, and for being on the show.
Thank you
and
for
let
having
me, say,
me on.
God bless you. You have a blessed, blessed rest of the day. And
thank you.
Thank
right.
you. Bye-bye, Pastor.
Bye-bye.
Edeinu shalom aleichem. Edeinu shalom aleichem. Edeinu shalom aleichem. Edeinu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Edeinu shalom aleichem. Edeinu shalom aleichem. Edeinu shalom aleichem. Edeinu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Edeinu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.